Okay. I wasn't there for that one. Maybe you were. So the first one I came to know was 1953, The War of the Worlds. This comes from an H.G. Wells. He was did this, I think, first on the radio, wasn't it?
Oh, 38 was the radio.
Okay, 38 was the radio. Then in 53, they made a movie. So this is set in London, and it's an invasion by aliens from Mars. So it really is a war between the worlds of Earth and Mars. And you can see some of the pictures that people drew. The aliens, oh, there we go. The aliens looked something like that. That was what somebody thought people from Mars would look like. Okay? So the one on the far left, that's actually a machine. And then the other two are the living Martians that go inside that machine. They look like aliens, don't they? They look like aliens. Somebody that is very different. Something that's totally other than what we are, right? They look like aliens. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look like an alien." You look like an alien. Well, what do aliens look like anyway? What do aliens look like? Today we're really going to use this idea of War of the Worlds and apply it to our cultures. Because when we come from different cultures, really we are aliens to one another. We're aliens to one another. Cultural differences makes us seem like aliens. One of the largest cultural differences, some of you are going to have to turn around just for a little bit. Most of the slides don't matter, but there's a, one of the biggest cultural differences that exists is this difference between West and East. And I could have put a slide up there. West is generally North and South America and Europe, Australia, probably a few other places as well. East is where we are now. It's all of Asia, Southeast Asia, and could even include some of Africa in there, I suppose. So examples of West and East. We choose what side we're on, or we're born onto a side, maybe. You all know, I think, where you fit when it comes to this big cultural difference, West and East. If you don't know now, after you see a few more slides, you'll probably know where you fit. Let's look at some. West is on the left, that's the blue. East is the red. This is called giving an opinion. Right? Giving an opinion. So do you know maybe now already where you start to fit in here? Lifestyle. Do you see yourself as an individual or do you see yourself as part of a group? West versus East. Okay, we're seeing ourselves somewhere. This one is called sightseeing. What do we do when we go to see things? The selfie capital of the world, yeah, right here where we are, somewhere close by. Okay, sightseeing. How do we look at the sights of the world? Some people in the West tend to just look and appreciate. In the East, we see cameras are because we want to take those memories home with us, and that's in the West too. That's in the West, too. Standing in line at the market. Did we get that one right? These, I think, were actually, they were come up with by a Chinese person. I don't think these originated in the West. I think they originated in the East. Standing in line. What you drink when you're sick with a stomach ache. And what kind of tea is that? What is it? Milk tea. Okay. What other kind of tea might that be? I don't know. I don't know teas. What? Korean tea. There's all kinds of tea. There's only one Coke. So, only one Coke. Age has a factor? Yeah, he's West. Okay, that could be. Okay. I think we got one more here. One more. The sound level in a restaurant. Yeah, I like that one. I like that one. I remember those days when we lived in the States and you'd go to a restaurant and you didn't have to ask for a quiet corner. The whole place was usually quiet. Here, there's no quiet corner, is there? Because it's more fun in the Philippines. I've learned that. You don't need a reason to have a party. Every day is a party. So make noise. Be loud. So cultural differences, and here's just some for fun. That was just for fun. What we do know about cultural differences, however, is that as we are exposed to them, they tend to isolate us. They can tend to isolate us. Maybe not always. But just like in war, we're on one side. We're on one side, not the other. And so we understand our side. I understand the West pretty well. That's where I grew up. But then when it comes to these Eastern things, especially that standing in line, come on. I learned, this isn't on my script, but I learned in Africa how to stand in line. And that's, you know, right up close like this. Because if I stood this far away, which is kind of normal for the American system, you stand about this far away, people would always crowd in front of me. You know, they don't even know that I'm standing in the line. So in Africa, I learned how to do that, to stand right next to somebody. So we know what side we're on. We're born onto a side, or we learn that side as we grow up. But the second part of it is that when we have interaction with people of another culture, what happens? Too often it ends in a conflict of some kind. Because we don't know how to behave with people of another culture. You come from China? I know who you are. You can't get away with that. From Japan. Just stand. So we don't know each other. Let's just greet each other, okay? Okay? How will you greet? In Japan, yeah. How will you greet? How do you greet people in Japan? No. It's like this. It's like this. This is the right way to greet people. Yeah. So he knows a little bit about Western culture. But in Japan, thank you. Lower? He has to be lower than I am. So when we come together, we don't always understand the customs, the behaviors of the other people. And so it sometimes is difficult. Are we going to this? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this? You know, how do we handle those differences? So sometimes it makes us feel uneasy when we are with people of different cultures because of these cultural differences. So it can tend to isolate us. Oops, yep, that's where I want to be. A couple years ago, in one of my classes, part of the assignment was to discuss or to reflect on some of the cultural conflicts that they were having here on campus. Because we recognize that here on campus, we are very diverse. We are many different cultures, usually at one time living here on the campus or working here on the campus or attending classes on campus, somewhere between 15 and 20 different cultures that we represent. So there can be a lot of opportunity for misunderstandings. So this was from some of the people in the class. One of the cultural conflicts here on campus was language. Language. These are all written by students. I spoke to a person from another culture on the phone. For both of us, English is a second language. Personally, I am afraid to communicate by phone. One of the reasons is that it seems difficult to hear clearly the voice of other people. Another reason is that the form of feedback is limited to only verbal feedback alone. He or she was saying, I can't see the face. I don't know if they're happy or angry or what they might be. However, my communication on this day was successful because we were talking about common knowledge of campus life at APNTS. Besides, the familiarity of this student and me is an important factor that contributed to our good communication. So it didn't lead to conflict that time. And if you think, well, you're from Philippines and you won't have any cultural conflict, that's not true. Here's one written by a Filipino, still having to do with language. I was in the APNTS lobby one day having a conversation with a person using our own mother tongue in Cebu. We use our own vernacular called Visaya. Another Tagalog-speaking person called to me just then and asked me a question. So I turned to answer him or her directly and gave a full explanation. As I was talking, they were just staring at me, looking so confused. Then I realized I was still using my Bisaya vernacular, and they didn't understand anything. So even if you're in your own country, because we have different languages, we have different groups of people, sometimes tribes of people, or we may label them in other ways, different ethnic origin people, we can still have some of these cultural difficulties. Gestures. Today I went to the library for copying an assignment for me and my friend. I said to the person helping me, photocopy. Wasn't too much in instructions there. Photocopy, and I showed my two fingers on my hand, which is culture, in my culture, means for two people. So he's saying, photocopy for two people. I was waiting, and when the copies were given to me, I was charged only 3 pesos. I was surprised how cheap it was, but I just took the papers and went to my room. That night, my friend and I took the copies and saw it was only 2 pages. But our assignment was 4 pages. Yeah. And we needed copies for 2 people. We were so angry because we had to finish the assignment that night. Why didn't the person in the library understand? I showed 2 fingers, meaning for 2 people. Cultural differences in the way we use gestures. Body language. As I came from my dormitory, I saw a North American professor headed home. Obviously, we were going to cross our paths, And I had something to discuss with the professor, but I did not know how to start the conversation. It was kind of awkward to talk to my professor outside of the classroom. The professor made the first greeting, so it made it easier for me to engage in a conversation. While our conversation was going on, I was ashamed to look at the professor in the eyes while they were talking. Suddenly, I remembered something from my anthropology class. Yay! That for North Americans, eye contact is very important when having a conversation. So what I did was I looked intently into my professor's eyes and followed every word that was said. And it was successful. Awkward to me, but North Americans like it. Okay. Language, the way we use our body and gestures or body language. How about smells? When I went to my room, I smelled something bad, a smell that was unfamiliar to me. I covered my nose. When I was about to unlock my door, a student from another culture came out and saw me. That student apologized for the cooking smelled bad, and I was bothered by it. I know for that student, the smell was okay, and I felt ashamed that I offended him or her, and I wasn't really bothered at all. I just covered my nose as an initial reaction, which was interpreted as a sign of disgust. Maybe I just need to be more sensitive with my actions next time, because I did not mean the smell was bad. I know for them it was a good smell. We have all of these opportunities to misunderstand culture here. And I'm not sure how many cultures, different cultures we have right here, but I'm guessing quite a few. I subtitled, it was probably on the very first slide. I subtitled this message, Unity in Diversity. Peter and Paul both got it right. You heard the scripture. That was from one of Peter's episodes. And in the very first verse that was read, Peter said, this is Acts 10:34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation. Every nation. And nation here doesn't mean a political unit. It refers to an ethnic group, a language group. So Peter recognizes through what took place earlier. I didn't give you the whole context. We'll talk more about that context on Thursday. The context, if you remember, though, is his visit to Cornelius. And so before he visits Cornelius, the Roman, he has this vision from God where the sheet is let down and all these different kinds of animals there. And it's a message, really, to Peter to accept these Romans as believers, the same as he is. So he's really beginning to get it at this time. This is the end of that, the end of that passage of Scripture. And Paul, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, although we have great diversity, we are all one. We'll have a chance in just a little bit to demonstrate that. Paul and Peter got it right. I was reading a book by Reuben Welch called We Really Do Need Each Other. And there were a couple pages in there. I just had to borrow it from him. He says, well, Peter and Paul, they got it right, but some of our old hymns, some of our old songs, they got it wrong. They didn't have it right at all. There's one called on the Jericho Road. Anybody know that song? You want to sing it for us? On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two. No more, no less, just Jesus and you. That's the song. It says that when we're traveling through life, there's only room on the Jericho Road for two of us. Just Jesus and me, that's all we need. We don't need anybody else, just Jesus and me. There was another one called, what was this one called? Jesus is all I need. When I am burdened or weary or sad, Jesus is all I need. And it keeps going on. Thank you. I appreciate that. Jesus is all I need. No matter what's happening in life, the only thing I need is Jesus. Well, there's truth to that. But that's not the whole truth. That's not the whole truth. On the Jericho Road, there needs to be room for Jesus and all of us. There needs to be room for Jesus and me and the whole community of redeemed believers. That's the better teaching from the Bible. It's not just Jesus and me. It's Jesus and we. Yeah, Jesus and we. Maybe we could sing a new song. It's Jesus and we on the Jericho Road. There's an illustration that I'm sure you've seen and heard of, and it's used quite often for illustrating the great commandment. You know, love God, but also love other people. And we do it kind of like this. We make this vertical line, and we say, love God, and then love people. We do something like that. There's truth in that, obviously. But the mistake we sometimes make is to see these as two separate lines. Loving God and loving people are not separate things that we do. It's all one thing. And I like to think about it like this. Here's the line coming down from God, and it kind of diverts over here to people. And then it comes back to me, and here's people being Jesus to me. Other people are meeting my needs. And then coming back up the other side, and it's me and going out to other people, I'm being Jesus to other people, helping meet their needs, and it's all for the glory of God. So I think we get it wrong when we think, well, I've got this one, and this one's good. Now, this one's not so good, but that's okay. You know, as long as I've got this one. But I don't think that's the whole gospel. I really believe that what Peter was experiencing here with Cornelius, that he was beginning to understand there's no separation between these people and those people and God's people. Jesus doesn't come to me only. He comes to all of us. Let's come back to the War of the Worlds. Then Peter began to speak to them, or Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In this sermon, and that's what Kim read for us earlier, this was the whole sermon of Peter at the house of Cornelius. And his whole sermon is in this line that God doesn't show favoritism to people based on ethnic background. And in fact, Jesus is the Lord of all. And that's kind of how it ends in verse 36. So his emphasis is that the gospel is universal. Preaching the gospel is universal. It's a message that's for all people, and especially the Gentiles. Especially the Gentiles. universality. God shows no favoritism. And then look in verse 35. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. God does not discriminate based on ethnic background, based on culture. So that says we also should not discriminate based on ethnic background. We can't look at one person and kind of, oh, you know, they're up there, and then look at someone else and say, oh, they're down there. He accepts those who fear him and do what is right. He has a new basis for discrimination. If you do what is right, you are right in the eyes of God. He shows no favorites. He doesn't discriminate based on race or ethnic background. He looks at what people do. How do they reference the Lord? What kind of attitude do they have? Those are the ones who are acceptable to him. Those who are the ones who are in right relationship, not based on anything else. Then we have one more verse here. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. It's a message of peace. There's an interesting contrast in this verse. It starts out, this is the message of good news for who? The people of Israel. But that's not the end of it. By the end of the verse, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That's the message of peace. It may have begun by preaching it to Israel, but it didn't end by preaching to Israel alone. So the gospel, the message of peace, is to go out to all of us. Korea, Bangladesh, I don't know where you're from. Philippines, Korea, Myanmar, Japan, Korea, Myanmar, and we can keep going. We can keep going. That's the universal message. The plan is that it would go out to all places. The content of the gospel is peace. If Jesus is truly Lord of all, then the gospel of peace must also be for all. John Pohill concluded his commentary on this section with some great words here. Where Christ is Lord of all, a worldwide witness and a worldwide fellowship of believers, free of all cultural prejudice, are absolutely imperative. I'll read it once more. Where Jesus Christ is Lord of all, a worldwide witness and a worldwide fellowship of believers, free of all cultural prejudice, are absolutely imperative. That means in the staying, wherever we are, in the going, wherever we go, that the message of Jesus is without any kind of cultural prejudice. We don't go as missionaries because, oh, those poor people, you know. We go as missionaries to other people because we're all poor people. One beggar, you've heard that one before, telling another beggar where they can find bread. We're all beggars. We're all poor people. And that's very important in cross-cultural witness and work. Okay. You've been wondering why you're sitting in a circle, right? It's so we can end with a game. Yoo-hoo! We are one in Christ, even though we are very different. We represent a great diversity here today. and yet we are one. Let's look at some of the ways we're different. We're going to play a game called Have You Ever? And so I ask a question that says, have you ever or are you? And if you can say yes, then you must stand up. In fact, we'll all stand. But you must run into the center and high five everyone who's in the center with you. Not walk slowly. You must run into the center. That's why there's little gaps there. Now, you backseat people, if you want to come to the front seats, you can do that now. Here's an example. Have you ever ridden a bicycle? Okay, let's run to the center. Woohoo! High five, high five, high five, high five. Woohoo! Yes. Return to your seats. I'm sorry if you didn't get in on that. One more example. Have you ever done a bungee jump? A bungee jump. Run into, yeah, give the high fives. Sorry. That's the way it goes. Okay, here we go. Remember, you got to run. Have you ever walked on the Great Wall of China? High five, high five. Run, high five. Woohoo! Here's another one. He's walking. He didn't run. See, that's why you've got to run. You don't want to be the last one in there. All right. Great Wall of China. Have you ever seen a giraffe?
Yes!
High five! Woohoo! Giraffe. Did you see a giraffe?
Yes.
Go give somebody a high five. There, go give Dr. Clark a high five. Okay, number three. Have you ever climbed a palm tree? Palm tree. That's... Whoa! And it doesn't count if you climbed on a ladder. Okay, you know how to do this? Can you do that with your other hand? If you can do it with your other hand, come and give a high five. Come on, back row. Come on, back row. I hear those snaps. Okay, this will probably get most of us up. Have you lived in three countries or more? Three countries or more? Oh, come on. Missionary Lee. Missionary Lee. I know. Yeah. Okay, here's some good ones. Have you ever eaten frogs or frog legs? High five. High five. No frogs? Frogs? They're just smiling. They're not saying anything. They're not saying anything. Do they eat frogs in Myanmar? Huh? So where were all the Myanmar people? I'm going to say it one more time just for Myanmar people. Have you ever eaten frog? Oh! Okay. Have you ever eaten dog? Dog. Now, run into the middle. Come to the middle. Into the middle. Into the middle. Okay, the next one's easy. We should see everybody. I think these Myanmar people, they're hiding today. These Myanmar people are hiding today. Have you ever eaten kimchi? Woo! Kimchi, come on! Let's hear it for kimchi. Yeah. Can you speak three languages or more? Three languages or more. Very good. How many? Eight languages? Okay. Can you speak eight languages or more? Oh, and one behind. Okay, last one. Everyone stand. Last one. Are you a child of God? Yeah. Run to the middle, run to the middle. Okay, remain standing, please. Remain standing. Did everyone get a high five? Okay. We should celebrate our unity even in the middle of all of our diversity. We may be different, but we are one. We may have done different things and we have different gifts of God and culture, but we are one. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together to recognize that cultural differences should never separate. They should not isolate. Lord, check our own attitudes today. Do we have any place in our hearts, Lord, that still discriminates against others based on just where they come from or the language they speak? I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and cleanse us today. And Lord, make us truly one here at APNTS. I've been praying for a revival here. We need your Holy Spirit here at APNTS. We know that when we just bow before you and allow you to work in our lives, we will truly see ourselves as one in Christ. May that be so today. Receive this benediction. May the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the eternal three in one, unify us all today that we may also be one with them. May God bless. Amen.